Hey everyone, welcome to another Sunday Conversation. I'm Josh Durso, and today's episode is brought to you by DeSanto Propane. They've been in business for more than 80 years, and better yet, are family-owned and operated. Their reputation is the envy of the propane industry, and you can learn more about them by calling 1-800-752-4574 or by visiting DeSantoPropane.com. College graduations are right around the corner, and many in the region are planning for in-person ceremonies for the first time in 2 years after a hiatus in 2020 brought on by the coronavirus pandemic. With that, we wondered, how do leaders of colleges view the last 12 months? Were the two academic years affected by the pandemic a success? What were the most important factors to that success, if they believe they were? We're joined today by Cuca College President Amy Story to talk about the school year and what it meant for students, faculty, and the community. Thanks so much for taking the time today. Cuca was one of the institutions that seemed to really have the support of the campus as well as the community at large over the last year. Amy, what do you think were the most important factors to the college's overall theme of success navigating the pandemic?
Well, I think that there were moments over the last year that were very challenging. I would say that in last spring, when we had to close down unexpectedly, it was very difficult for the faculty to change all of their courses to a distance learning format with basically 2 weeks' notice. For the students to shift their thinking about what they were going to have to do to successfully complete the semester. And then in October, when we had to shut down unexpectedly after an outbreak of COVID on campus, it was really challenging. So those moments were a little bit darker, I would say, than the rest. But I think that by communicating what it was we were allowed to do based on the rules for New York State, as well as the guidance from the CDC, and why we were making those choices, how we believed it was in the best interest for the health of the campus community as well as the surrounding communities, we were able to alleviate, I think, some of the stress. But the reality is we are operating in this era of uncertainty that is very uncomfortable for everyone. And when you're making decisions that impact hundreds of people's lives, and in the case of the surrounding community, thousands of people's lives, you can rest assured that some people are not going to be happy with the decision. So at least if you can communicate why you made the decision, at least that can give people some comfort that it was thought through, even if they don't agree with, you know, the ultimate decision.
I'm curious because I've heard it framed like that from quite a few administrators and decision makers in different kinds of, whether it be business or restaurants or even schools, whether it be K through 12 or higher ed. I've heard it framed like that, but I'm curious, how much of that was really decision versus just sort of figuring out where you guys fall within the metrics that the state, the CDC, the federal government is handing down as the situation is sort of evolving by the day, versus actually having to make decisions? Because it seems like a lot of the, you know, you guys were pretty much just following the guidance from the CDC and from the state health department. I mean, I understand there being frustration from certain parts of the community, I'm sure. But the flip side of that is there wasn't that much wiggle room, was there?
Well, there's some latitude on some decisions. And so wherever there was latitude, there would be conflict, I would say. And even when it comes to how did we do contact tracing, let's just say, for example, on campus, and did we view somebody as being a close contact of somebody who tested positive? If we do, then that person has to immediately go to quarantine. If that person disagrees with me saying, well, I wasn't a close contact, I still, you know, I may err on the side of caution. So there's latitude with some of those decisions. You're right. The majority of the big decisions were less controversial in that we really didn't have a choice. But where we did, I think that there were a lot of questions. So another example is October, when we had to shut down and send the students home. The surrounding community was concerned, well, you're sending all of these people out into the community that could be COVID positive. And that was a huge concern for us. But because we didn't have the right amount of quarantine space available on campus, we had very little recourse. So we had to work with public health, Yates County Public Health, even Monroe County Public Health, to find out what solution posed the least amount of risk to the surrounding community as well as the on-campus community. And they were tough decisions at times.
Let's talk a little bit about lessons learned. What do you think, when you sort of look back from the administrative side, and even just campus life side, what do you think the biggest lesson learned was going through this process, and even still to some degree going through the process now?
I think that when we believe that we can plan for every eventuality, we are deceiving ourselves. And what we've learned is that the future is uncertain. And we always knew that, but I think this was a really strong reminder of the fact that there are no guarantees as we move forward. So as an industry and as a college, we had been somewhat comfortable in predicting what could happen next. So, you know, there are leading indicators with respect to the economy or with respect to enrollments, et cetera, et cetera. So we got really comfortable with those prediction models. And we were reminded that we can't do that because the future is uncertain. And really the best way to think about the future is by planning for a few different scenarios. And maybe the scenarios aren't as varied as they are in the midst of a pandemic, but I think that it reminded us that we've got to be creative when we think about what could be coming next, because we just don't know.
What is the big challenge that now that we're sort of starting to come out the other side of this, folks are getting vaccinated, that's all good news. What are maybe one or two of the big challenges that you kind of see on the horizon that you're watching for now leading the college?
The thing that makes me the most nervous, Josh, is that Cuba College is in the top 10% of colleges in the nation for the upward economic mobility of our graduates. So I have always believed that higher education is one of the swiftest ways out of poverty or to better your individual situation. And yet the rhetoric that's happening in our country is really suggesting that the contrary is true. And what I'll say about that is that there are a number of people who have left college either without a degree or with a degree in staggering debt. And I'm not advocating for anybody to go out and borrow $200,000 or for anybody to go to a for-profit college. And, you know, I recognize that has disadvantaged a lot of people and there were predatory loan processes. But by and large, an investment in higher education for most people is a smart investment. And not just because of economic mobility, but because of your worldview and your outlook. So I'm very concerned that as we as a nation, as a world continue to struggle through whatever the fallout is from this pandemic, that people could believe that education isn't worth it. And in my mind, obviously, what I've chosen to do is a good indicator of the fact that I think nothing could be further from the truth. And again, you can speak to almost any of our graduates and they will tell you how dramatically their Cuca College experience changed the course of their life. And I just would really hate to see people give up on that dream.
I'm curious to that end. Obviously, we're talking about enrollment. It seemed like last spring and last summer, obviously some schools obviously had real issues with securing their fall students and understanding and knowing how many were actually going to come back. But it seems like in other areas or other colleges and universities, maybe it wasn't as bad as some people expected it to be. Most students came back. Life was pretty much more or less normal. Things continued on, whether it be remote or otherwise. What are your expectations as you look forward to the fall? Is this something that you think maybe as people get vaccinated, this becomes less of a conversation piece? Or do you think that dialogue that's happening sort of broadly about the value of higher education maybe is going to continue to get amplified? Or do you think we're going to kind of see a good directional push here?
Well, I think, you know, in the Northeast, the numbers are of high school graduates is continuing to fall. And as we go through the coming years, that will that situation will continue to escalate. And an organization like CUCA that is largely regional, so most of our students come from this region, has to plan for a smaller number of potential students coming out of the high schools. So from an enrollment standpoint, there's going to be a challenge no matter what the conversation, the national conversation is. What we've learned through the pandemic is that the majority of traditional aged students or high school graduates that go straight to college want a face-to-face experience. And I think they recognize that that full college experience, the experience of living with people who are very different than you, is a part of the entire undergraduate experience that really would prepare them for whatever it is that they want to do in life. So I'm happy about that because I agree with that. I think that's an important piece of your education. But I think that the affordability issue is one that is not being fully discussed in a way that people, especially first generation college students, can understand when it comes to, yes, it's an investment, but yes, it pays off. Mm-hmm. I don't know that was a very direct answer, but it's a little bit of a nuanced situation.
And to that end, I can recall even take before the pandemic as an example, when the Excelsior Scholarship came about, there was plenty of talk about how that would really hurt private institutions and really do a number on some of the smaller liberal arts colleges around the state. Was that something that you guys actually saw a bump from, or did that maybe not pan out quite as severely as maybe we thought?
From the people that I've spoken with who either their family experienced an Excelsior scholarship or made decisions based on that, it did not turn out to be in the best interests of any of the students. Enrollment went down at all the community colleges because people decided, well, I'm just going to go for a four-year degree. And that's not good because for some people, community college is the right step after high school graduation. The other outcome is, yes, our enrollments suffered. And then what people ended up getting in terms of a scholarship award was really minimal from Excelsior. So, you know, again, you almost have to be an expert in college financing to navigate this. It's very difficult for families. And I would say, again, it's very difficult for first generation or even second generation families to figure out how much should I spend? How much should I be planning on from New York State and the federal government? And how much should I borrow reasonably in order to be able to pay it back after I graduate? So in my mind, the best thing that higher education could do for the students of this country is to figure out a different way of financing.
Interesting. Speaking of different or change, what are some of the things that you think might change permanently on the other side of the pandemic from an actual educating standpoint? At school, whether it be, do you think there's going to be more remote opportunities? Do you think more sort of shorter term opportunities are going to be presenting themselves at colleges like CUCA, or is it going to be some other thing that pops up on the horizon?
Well, I think everything you just mentioned, Josh, is probable. So I think that students have said while they appreciate the face-to-face experience, the residential college experience, they also like to have the option of taking one or two courses remotely, even from their residence hall room. So
yeah.
If it's an 8 o'clock class and you don't have to get dressed to actually attend, that might be more palatable. So yeah. I think students have said they want more. They want more flexibility, and again, more hybrid courses where some of the work is face-to-face and some of it is in a distance learning format. I think for adult learners who may be working full-time, they have always said that they appreciate the flexibility of learning remotely, and I think that will continue. So I think that we are going to have to really focus on the individual learner and what that person needs and bring as much flexibility to that person's experience as we can. And the way to do that is to leverage technology. So I definitely think that will be staying with us as we go ahead. In terms of what you were saying about shorter term opportunities, I do think that credentialing and other forms of education have a place in our overall higher education landscape. in a way that will continue to grow as we move forward.
I was going to say, does that feel like a bit of a missed opportunity over the last several years? As we've seen that blossom more at community colleges, is that something that maybe feels like some four-year institutions maybe have missed a bit on and could possibly really work into their world over the next 4, 5, 6 years?
Yes, I would say so. I think that in general, the academy is somewhat slow to change, and our faculty really know their disciplines inside and out and very well. And it can be difficult to change your thought process into how do you take something that's so important to an individual and condense it into something that is a smaller, shorter term process to deliver part of that critical information and perhaps give a different level of credential that isn't a bachelor's degree or whatever it is. But it requires thinking differently about some of the things that we've always done. And again, traditionally, the academy does not move quickly. New York State is also very, I would say they're very concerned with the quality of education, which is excellent, but that means that they're slow to do things differently and to approve different ways of doing things. Mm. And so that's a disadvantage to institutions like ours, and it can be a disadvantage to the students of New York State. So, I mean, you cannot fault somebody for insisting upon the highest level of quality, but you really do have to balance that with how quickly you're willing to move when it comes to considering new ideas.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about graduation, if we could. What is graduation going to look like? Do we have a definitive answer yet what graduation will look like?
We do. So at Keuka College, we're doing a face-to-face series of graduations. So all day Saturday, May 22nd, and all day Sunday, May 23rd. On the 22nd, we are graduating the class of 2020 from last year.
Those students,
they missed that chance. And then on Sunday, we're doing the class of 2021. And we'll have at least 8 ceremonies, and possibly more, in order to stay below the 200-person threshold recommended by New York State. I do believe that the CDC is coming out with additional guidance this week about outdoor events, and our commencement is outdoors, so it's even safer than most. But we will mandate masks and social distancing and all the other protocols to keep everyone safe.
Obviously, we're a bit out from it now, but I'm sure it's never too early to start thinking about it. When you think about the fall, what comes to mind? Does it look normal? That word that everyone is really like clamoring toward right now, normal. Are we going to see normal as far as college life goes come September, October?
You know, again, to your point before about how much latitude do we have in some of these decisions, we really have to wait and see what New York State says. I think the big question mark for the fall right now is, should the institution mandate vaccines for its students? So as you are probably aware, in New York State, most colleges mandate a whole series of vaccinations before you go to live in a residential experience. You're living in close quarters with a lot of people. But because the COVID vaccine only has emergency use authorization, there's some questions about whether it can be mandated. Now, a lot of colleges in New York State have already mandated it, but SUNY has not, and we have not. And so it'll be interesting to see how that discussion evolves over the summer, and if the CDC changes it from an emergency use authorization to a more broad. But at this point, I don't know. If we mandated vaccinations, I would say we would be much closer to having a more traditional experience here. If we can't mandate vaccines, I would say it'll be much closer to what this semester was like.
Mm-hmm. Curious, when we do start to see that shift back to normal, whether it's in the fall or whether it's the winter or next year, whatever the case may be, do you kind of see a scenario where colleges like CUCO will have to put together additional resources for those who may still have some challenges going back to that normal? I mean, we're a year and a half effectively removed from it now. We'll be approaching 2 years removed from it here sooner than later. For some people, they may not you know, they may not even have any memories at college in normal times. So how do you think colleges like Cougar are going to handle that? And what resources might we be seeing put in place to at least give people an outlet if they aren't quite comfortable with some of those scenarios?
So the federal stimulus dollars have given us some room to continue to support students into the future financially for people who are still experiencing fallout from the pandemic. So I anticipate that moving forward at least through next fiscal year. And depending on the guidelines that the federal government applies to the stimulus money, if we can carry it out further, we certainly will. So there have been, I would say, substantial supports put in place by the federal government to make sure that financially students are able to persist in their degrees. But there are other ways that there is pandemic fallout, I would say, and some of it is mental health. So there are additional mental health supports that we have put into place that I believe will need to continue for the foreseeable future, because, again, these families and individuals are under extreme emotional stress and have been for so long, and I think that will be staying with us. Also, New York State has said that we can continue in distance learning format for all of our degrees through 2022. So we will continue to allow that flexibility in the courses we deliver. And I think, you know, because we had to move to remote instruction so quickly, and we have to accommodate students if they are moved into quarantine or isolation, whenever that comes up, we have learned how to be flexible in the way that we are delivering education, which I think will stay with us as we move forward.
Yeah, I'm curious. You mentioned the having the mental health resources available, and I'm curious, as that connects to sort of what the pitches looked like to incoming students, graduating seniors, how has the pitch on CUCA and higher education in general changed for some students who now haven't been in a classroom in a normal setting now for a year and a half? I mean, to think that they were juniors the last time they were in a classroom in a normal environment, and this fall, in some cases, they're going to not only be moving away from home, they're going to be moving into a new environment, going back to the classroom, I'm sure, to some degree in a lot of cases. How is that conversation playing out between the folks who are having that conversation and the students who are coming in?
So our admissions counselors have shared that there are so many students who cannot wait to get out of their house now. So they can't wait to go away and move away to college because they've been stuck at home indoors for such a long time. But in order to ensure that students are prepared for college, we have set up additional structures during orientation. So there's a week-long optional addition to orientation that will help prepare students for returning to the classroom. We also have bridge programs over the summer, too, for other students who feel like maybe they need a little bit more support to be sure that they're able to hit the ground running in the fall. But by and large, the pitch hasn't changed that much. I think that there is demand among a lot of students to get back to some kind of a face-to-face experience. And so we just recognize that we are going to need to have additional supports in place because these students have been disadvantaged through their high school career and are going to need additional academic support as well as mental health support.